I'm Liza.
I'm Riss.
And this is the Little Sleep
Much Reading Podcast.
And finally, from so little sleeping and so much reading, his brain dried up and he went completely out of his mind.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
What book organizing website thing app are you going to be using in 2025?
I'm still going to use Storygraph.
I'm going to switch back over to Storygraph, I think.
Were you doing Goodreads?
No, I was doing this one called Reading List, but the subscription is going up in price. And I don't like that no one else I know uses it. So I think I'm going to do Storygraph. But everybody I know other than you uses Goodreads and is trying to get me to download Goodreads.
I know. I think Goodreads is evil.
I can't support it.
No, and I don't even know exactly why. There's just something off that I don't like. Is it an Amazon thing?
It's Jeff. It's owned by Amazon.
That's probably why.
Wait, but remind me again, because I had Storygraph for a minute and I forget why. I think I just wasn't using it because I've had reading lists for years. And I think it was just like me and you discovered Storygraph, like I feel like partway through a year, 1 year. And then I didn't want to like transfer everything over. So I just never did it. I have an account, but it doesn't have any books on it. But remind me again, can you write reviews on Storygraph?
Yes.
Do you?
No, I never have. I probably should start this year, though. Let's see.
Because that's the one good thing about Goodreads is you can write reviews that other people will see. But I don't, Storygraph is like that too.
I think so.
Okay. Because then I would get it. Because on reading list, it just tracks like your like trends and then also obviously what you read, but it you like no one can follow you on reading list, you know?
Yeah, you can write reviews and all that. I don't know how, but I see them on here, so I know that you can.
Yeah. Oh, I'll
Oh, it
look
literally
into
says right there, add review. Duh, stupid.
because you've already read in that case 3 books in 2025.
Yeah.
So you
But
gotta
like
get
how I've been doing it is I've just been writing, like I usually just track that I read them and then the dates that I read them. I've never
That's what I do.
written a review, but I guess I should start doing that. And also, like, there's a way you can, like, write, like, oh, this was this kind of book, and it gave me these vibes, and it was like fast, slow, or medium paced, and it was plot or character
Oh,
centered, all that.
cool.
So I probably should start doing that. It would probably make my life a lot easier when I get to the end of the year, but.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah, maybe I'll do that when I finish my first book of 2025, which 14 days into the year and I have not done. But probably by the end of this week I will.
What are you reading?
More romanticy by the same bitch. I'm obsessed with her.
Okay, love it.
Here's the thing. If she's listening to this, girl, I love you. Her writing is like not that. It's nothing crazy. Like, it's not bad by any means, but it's not like great. But her books are so fun. Like, I'm upset. Like, I can't stop reading them. Which I kind of feel the same way I felt when I read A Court of Thorns and Roses for the first time, and I immediately wanted to read the second one and then the third one. But then I obviously fell off Sarah J. Maas. But you didn't.
I just feel like I really needed to read. I skipped the I don't know, the
Nope.
Christmas special one, Frost or whatever.
Everybody says not to read that one. I would potentially read it like next Christmas if I remembered, just for fun,
Right.
because it's so short.
That's actually a good idea.
We could
But
do next year
yeah, we
together.
should. But and then I picked up the fourth one just so I can just like finish it. Because tech isn't that technically, that's the last one.
I believe so. I don't think there's any more coming, but I'm, who knows? That bitch is
Because
prolific.
Crescent City is something different and Throne of Glass is something different, right?
Different. Exactly. Like I said, like I wouldn't be surprised if she ended up coming out with another ACOTAR, but I'm not sure. But speaking of top tens, I need to, I guess, give a shout out to this woman, Rebecca F. Kenny, because even though I'm reading this Alice in Wonderland one in the new year, I read the Nutcracker one and the Krampus one in December. So if I grouped all three of those together, that would fall into a category of like books I really enjoyed this year that would probably make it into my like honorable mention slash top 10.
Way.
Do you have any series like that you would group them all into one from this year?
Don't think so. My reading year was really slow. It was
Yeah.
like, I don't even think I read a full series. Oh, well, I read the Fourth Wing books, but I don't really think that counts.
I mean, it technically does, but they weren't good, were they?
Honestly, they were kind of good. But like I think that they were just I think that me reading Divergent in the same year that I read them made me like them more.
Are they written by the same person?
No.
Oh.
But they give like the same vibes because she's like it's like heavily like combat training. They're like in a school.
I think
He's
I was
her
so confused.
superior. It like reminded me so much of it. And every time I say that to someone, they're like, no. I'm like, yes. Yes.
I think I was very confused about what Fourth Wing was.
What do you think it is?
I thought it was dragon fucker smut.
They don't fuck the dragons. No.
Thank Christ, because this whole time everybody was like, "I love Fourth Wing, I love Fourth Wing," and I was like, "What the fuck?" Like I was like, I guess in my mind thought the dragons were like humans sometimes and dragons other times, but I thought like everybody was like a dragon.
No, they're people, babe.
Okay,
Yeah. But
that
they
makes
have
me guess.
dragons and they have like mental connection to their dragon, which is cool.
Okay, it's like Aragorn, but new and also mixed with Divergent
And smut.
and smut.
Yeah.
Hey, color me intrigued.
Honestly, I think you would like it.
I probably would.
And then the new one's coming out. In like a week, so
I think Rebecca Yarros got into some tea.
yeah, didn't she say something controversial about Palestine or something?
I think she too is a potentially a problem in the same way Sarah J. Maas is a problem.
Yeah,
But we'll look into that and get back to you, everybody.
no, for real though.
Because in that case, get the books from the library or pirate that shit.
Steal them.
Steal them from a big corporation bookstore.
Yeah, we won't notice if one copy goes.
I don't keep track of that. Anyway.
It slay. But yeah, I also towards we can also talk about is there are there any books this year that you didn't finish? Like not that you purposely DNF'd, you just didn't finish them. We should also talk about those.
I've yet to finish Supper Club by Lara Williams, and I'm gonna go back to it because had I finished it before the year was over, I think it would have ended up in my top 10 or maybe even top 5. But it was just like, it's a good book. I really like the prose. It's the second book I've read by Lara Williams. I read The Odyssey during our reading marathon like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago. And I think it just was like I had started it like mid-December, and at that point I wanted to read the Krampus book and the Nutcracker book. So I put it on pause and I was gonna finish it maybe the week after Christmas and I just never got around to it. So I'll go back to that one, but that's the only book that's like still in my reading like unread, unfinished section of my list. What about you?
I had a couple that I started and didn't finish this year. I started Horror Movie by Paul Tremblay. I actually liked it, but it was like I started reading it like the week of my birthday. And then I
Okay.
just didn't pick it up again. Towards the end of the year, I picked up Butcher and Blackbird. And
Yeah.
I don't know. It seemed okay to begin with. There's a
Yeah.
little bit too much like goofy fanfic writing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what
Like
you
their
mean.
dialogue is like a little bit corny, in my humble opinion. And also like he's Irish and I can't do the accent
Stop it. That is so funny to
in my head. So
me.
it like is really throwing me off.
That's hilarious. I
But
didn't know
everyone
that he
loves
was
it,
Irish.
so I should continue it.
I know. That's the thing. Like, I feel like when you're reading a book that like everybody likes, you're like, well, I gotta fucking finish it.
Right. I started Mayfly. I didn't finish it.
That's right.
There's been quite a few that I started and didn't finish, but like a lot of times when I do that, it's just because I don't know, I just like fall off. I get like out of that mood.
I completely agree. And are you the type of person that then has trouble? Like, if you picked up Mayfly tomorrow, would you be able to pick up where you left off and finished it, or would you have to start from the beginning?
I could probably pick it up where I left off and finish it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I usually am. It would have to be a really not good book for me to not remember what had happened months later. In which case, I probably wouldn't finish it. So.
And then whoops.
So you read the entire Divergent series start to finish?
No, I only read Divergent.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Here's my other question, which piggybacks off of that. Did you reread anything this year that you've read before? Therefore, it counts for your numbers, but it can't be put in the top five.
You know, I can't. This is actually really funny. I can't remember because I swore that I reread The Hunger Games,
Yeah, I did.
but it's not in my list. But like The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes is in my list.
I think you've reread it because we were talking about it at the same time.
So why didn't I add it to my list? And was it was 2024 that I reread it, right?
Yeah, I reread the whole thing except for
Oh
Ballad of
no.
Songbirds and Snakes in 2024.
Mine was 2023. It was right at the end of 2023. That's why.
Okay. And then I started at the beginning of 2024.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense.
So then,
Which,
no, I didn't reread anything.
okay, interesting. Because that makes the whole thing different, I think, because obviously I didn't include The Hunger Games in my top five or my top 10, but I loved that rereading them so much. Like, it was one of my favorite reading experiences of the year. So, interesting. What else would you put if we were having to do a top 10 or like honorable mentions before we get into the top five? What else jumps out to you?
I did some awards for my books. So the smuttiest book that I read in 2024 was probably Ice Planet Barbarians. I still reference that book to people. Like his extra knob. I'll bring that up all the time.
Obsessed.
I'm actually proud I read two nonfiction books this year, which is pretty slay.
Yeah.
The funniest book I read is not a comedy. It was actually The Hunger by Alma Katsu. And it's funny because she based this book, it's historical fiction, but it's horror.
Yes, I've heard about
She
this.
based it off the Donner Party. But
Oh.
like she used their names, like their actual
Their
names.
real names.
But like she was spilling tea that I don't think she should have been, like she should have been spilling that tea. Like she was like, oh, like blah, blah, blah was a whore and she was sleeping with this guy instead of her husband and all this other stuff. And I'm like, but you can't say that because that's her real name and you don't know for sure.
Well, they're dead.
Right.
So you
Like,
can say
I
whatever
thought
you
that
want.
was so funny that she was just like creating this whole crazy story about these real people.
Well, also the concept of writing a fan fiction essentially about the Donner Party is hilarious.
Yes.
Like, that's fucking hilarious.
Very, very good, actually.
Very good.
The saddest book that I read was probably When Darkness Loves Us. That one was really good. And then, so I didn't have like five other ones. I had four other ones that I really
Yeah.
liked. So the other ones that I really liked that didn't make my top 10 was Out There Screaming. We love
Yep.
Jordan Peele.
We love it.
Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. I think that book wasn't as good as the original three Hunger Games books,
Fair.
but because it tied in so well, and yeah, I thought that was great. I still haven't seen the movie though.
You have to watch it.
I read a young reader book called The Labyrinth of Lost and Found.
Yes, we did that one for the Young Reader episode.
I really liked that book, and it
Yeah.
reminded me so much of Harry Potter in a weird adventure-y way that I feel like it scratched a good itch. And then The Body Keeps the Score, I read, which is nonfiction, but I listened to it and it was weirdly like very informative, and I thought it deserves the hype. Like it, that book actually sells really, really well, and it deserves
Yeah.
it. Actually good despite being psychology nonfiction.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Those are all great. Like those are like more fun, I feel like, than my like honorable mentions. Well, 'cause like I said, I have the two Rebecca F. Kenny books as an honorable mention. I will be reading more. The Alice in Wonderland one so far is just okay. But she has a Headless Horseman one that I said color me intrigued. I will be reading that. Interestingly, I also at some point gave a different Smut 4 stars, and that was the Blood and Midnight one, which I think I read when you read Ice Planet Barbarians.
Okay.
And I was going to finish that series, and I never did. But I think I just had a really fun time reading that one. I also want to give out a shout out to the two Siobhan Dowd books I read, which are both young adult, Irish young adult. A Swift Pure Cry, which I had to read for class, and then Bog Child, which I read for, I think, our weird fiction episode. The writing was just really good, and the stories were like really good and like upsetting, and they're historical fiction essentially. So I wanted to give her a shout out. A really great nonfiction book I read that I also wanted to give a shout out was called Lesbian Decadence: Representations in Art and Literature of Fin de Siecle, France. And that was one of the ones that came in really handy for my thesis. Because, like I was telling Marissa, like I read 60 books this year, but about half of them, if not more, were for my dissertation. So it feels like I didn't read that many books this year out of like enjoyment per se. Some of them I really ended up enjoying, like that one, and another one called The Queer Uncanny, and more kind of in that vein. But I'll give those a shout out, and then I'll give the Maze Runner series a shout out, which I haven't finished, but I loved the first one, and I really liked the second one too. And then the last book I'll give a shout out to is Medusa by Jesse Burton, which I'm not usually the biggest fan of that genre of Greek myth retelling. I just think it's kind of tired at this point. I liked Song of Achilles, and I've read like a few others, and they've all been like fine. They just never really stand out to me. But this one was really good, and I actually found out later that it's technically shelved under young adult, which is really shocking to me. But it was one of the best portrayals I've seen of Medusa and the fact that she is a sexual assault survivor. I feel like so many retellings really gloss over that, and it always makes me like really upset that they do that. And the relationship that Jesse Burton explores between Perseus and Medusa is really interesting in this, and it's also just beautifully written. But yeah, those are probably the ones I most want to give a shout out. But I read other like really good books this year. Like I loved My Favorite Thing Is Monsters. Also Out There Screaming was great. The Seep was really good. I finally read Gideon the Ninth, which like wasn't my favorite thing in the world, but now I can like I liked it a lot. I'm just not a big space opera person. However, now I get why people love it so much. But yeah, those are kind of my honorable mentions.
Slay.
Slay the house down.
Did you only read the first one of My Favorite Thing is Monsters? Did you read both?
I need to read the second one still. I only read the first one. I read that, and then I also more series stuff I did this year was I read Murder on the Red River, which is another Cash Black Bear mystery, which I think I talked about maybe last year, one of them, and then obviously Butcher and the Wren. I read The Butcher Game. So it's like I've added a few installments to different series this year, but I actually didn't finish any all the way through except for rereading The Hunger Games. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's a sleigh.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. Should we get into our top 5 of 5?
What's your number five?
My number 5 is Sign Here by, let me remember who that's by. Claudia something. Claudia Lux.
Claudia, yes. And I wanted to read this one.
I just think it, I don't know, it was cool. It was like a nice, like, I don't know, not like retelling, but like a nice, there's gotta be, I guess, like hell is like not mythology, but maybe
Well,
some kind of mythology, right?
yeah, is it based on the hell from the Bible or is it based on the hell from Dante's Inferno?
Neither, really.
Okay.
I feel like to me it felt more Dante's Inferno. But yeah. And I really liked it. It was funny. It had like a lot of bizarre Easter eggs. I just love when a book like connects together at different points. I think it did that really well. And I mean, it was like a horror comedy, which I'm not used to, but I just really liked it. So that's why it's number 5.
I remember you talking about that one, and I was really, really intrigued by it, and I added it to like my want to read list because it sounded good.
Yeah.
My number five, also read for the pod. Well, I read it for class, but then I think I talked about it on the podcast, was Notes on an Execution by Dania Kogawka. I immediately thought of this when you were listing off your like book superlatives and you said saddest book I read this, you had a category for the saddest book you read this year. This was definitely the saddest book I read this year. And I think that's kind of interesting because it is mystery. It gets shelved in the mystery section, I think. Maybe it gets shelved in literary fiction. But I feel like I would often see it shelved. It was a hardcover when I still worked at the store. And I think it was always shelved in the mystery section in like the new mysteries. But it didn't necessarily feel like a mystery because, not to discredit mysteries, I love mysteries, but they're a little bit campy. Like we have The Butcher and the Wren, we have the Cash Black Bear series that I was talking about. We have all of these, and they're great, and they can be scary, and that you can get connected to the characters. But they all feel like, okay, well, this is a book in the mystery genre. This, even though it was about a actual serial killer, didn't have that same camp quality. It was like very upsetting. And I think because it came from the perspective of like victims or women who had been impacted by this man's crimes, it was all the more impactful than like books that choose to either go from the killer's perspective or books that choose to go from a detective's perspective. And there is actually a detective type figure in the story, but it is a woman who's been like impacted by this guy's crimes. But yeah, I just really like that book. That's my number five.
Slay. I feel like that book would go, would be paired nicely with that poetry book I read maybe in 2023, Into the Woods and All the Way Through.
Yes, very much. Very much. Love that.
My fourth one on the list is Fourth Wing.
Stop, I'm dead.
I don't know. I just liked it. I thought it was like fun. I think that I did not think it was going to be as good because of the hype around it. I was like, people are stupid and this is going to not be fun. But I bought it, so I should just read it.
Yeah.
And I think it was what I needed to read at the time. If you look at my like story graph for the year based on mood, my beginning of the year was like rock bottom, and then my end of the year was like really high. So clearly I needed something fun to read, and Fourth Wing was that.
Yeah.
If I had to like critique it in any way, I would say that it's often advertised as enemies to lovers, and there's not enough of the enemies to lovers. Like it goes a little bit too quick for it to like really fully be enemies to lovers, even though it's often advertised like that, but it still works and it's fun. So, and there's no, it's people, they're not dragons.
They're not dragons.
They're not dragons.
My top four, my number four is Where I End by Sophie White, or Where I End, sorry. Is that what I said?
Yeah, that is what you said.
Frazzled. Where I End by Sophie White. I can't remember if I read this book for the pod or if I just read it for life. But this book is so good. It's one of the best horror books I've read in a while. However, I'm always reminded of me and you's threshold for horror whenever I see somebody else talking about a horror book, because I saw this on a YouTube girl's list of the most disturbing books she's ever read in her entire life. And I was like, uh-oh, I fear that there's something broken within me, because I definitely didn't think it was by any means even close to the most disturbing thing I've ever consumed. Because I'm usually more freaked out by movies than I am by books, generally speaking. But I still feel like there's books that I was even more troubled by than this book. However, the book is really good. It takes place on a rural island in Ireland, and it's about this woman that lives with her disabled mother and her grandmother, and it's basically all the same people always on the island. But then this new woman moves to the island, and this woman has a baby. And the main character is pretty disturbed, mommy issues big time. So you can see just based on that description what happens from there. But the prose was really good, it was very eerie and I guess technically disturbing. And the setting was amazing, and it has one of the eeriest concepts I've ever seen in a book, which I'll just tell you guys because it's not a spoiler. But the ground, I mentioned this a bunch of times, I think, because I'm just obsessed with it. But the ground on the island like can't be dug up, so you can't bury bodies, but you have to do something with anybody who dies on the island. But instead of throwing them into the sea, they hang them by ropes off of the cliffside and let the sea spray just eat away at the corpse. And I love that. I think that's so freaky and so good. I would definitely read more books by this woman if there were any. However, I don't think there are yet. But it was great. Where I End by Sophie White, top four.
I think you did read that for the pod.
I think I
Just
did.
like familiar.
I don't know what week, maybe for when we did Gothic Revisited. It's so hard to keep track.
It is, I mean, we've done 100 episodes so far, so
I know.
yeah.
Yes, Gothic Revisited, and you read What Feasts at Night.
Ah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Delicious. So then my number three book was Cabin at the End of the World by Paul Tremblay.
Yes.
I don't know. I read that one book by him, Paul Bearer's Club, and I didn't like it. So I had really low hopes for this one, and I think that that helped it be so good to me. Also, I had seen the movie before I read the book, actually, but I liked the book ending better, and it actually made me mad at the movie because it there's something like really dark that happens, and they change the way it happens in the movie. And I think that's just cowardly.
Yeah.
Just let it be dark and let it be horrific and let it be what it is, because if people don't like it, good, they're not supposed to.
Right.
Like, so I liked it so much better in the book, and I thought it was a really brave thing for him to do. I also like a lot of horror is queer,
Yes.
but I don't know if I've read a lot of horror that like had an openly gay married couple in it
With a kid.
with a kid. Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever read that. I don't know, and I just actually really liked it, and yeah, so that was why that was my number three.
Shout out to Paul Tremblay.
Shout out, my guy.
Oh my God, that is so random. I just on Instagram, I had looked at our account to like see what when I read that book, and this girl just posted her like 2024 reads. But I'm like, bitch, that's what we're doing right now.
On the same wavelength.
She put Mayfly in her top 10.
Interesting.
My number three is The Rachel Incident by Caroline O'Donoghue, another Irish book, just made it because I read it in November. And this is one of my favorite books I've read, period. I feel like once we get into the top three of every single year, those three books usually end up being so good that they make it to the top like 20 of the books I've ever read in my life. This book was amazing. I loved every second of it. I could not put it down. And that's the thing that's so interesting about this to me is this book is not weird. It's not weird lit fic. It's not horror. The prose isn't strange. And usually Marissa and I are very gravitated to one of those three things in some way, shape, or form. And this wasn't any of those things. Yes, the prose were good. Yes, the characters were kind of weird and quirky, but it was actually just the story of someone's of a few years of time in one person's life. And sort of this concept of, okay, if you're older, your life is put together, you're married, you're having a kid. What happens when you look back on the craziest years of your life, like in retrospect? And like a moment in time from your 20s. That's what this book is about. And it felt like one of the most relatable books I've ever read in my life. Not that anything that happened to this woman has ever happened to me, but except for the fact that she worked in a bookstore and she meets her best friend working in a bookstore, that all felt very like real. And it takes place like she's going into college at the time of the Great Recession in Ireland. And I really related to like growing up during the Great Recession in the United States. So there's like small things that you're like, oh my God, this is so on the nose. But she as a person was just so relatable because the best way I thought to describe it was in books, we get two kinds of characters. Characters that are boring and we're like, I can't relate to that person because they're not weird and I feel like I'm a very strange person and I think things that other people don't and that makes me a bit of a freak. Or people who are too crazy and you're like, stop doing what you're doing. You're insane and you're stressing me out. There's never girls in between. Rarely is there ever. So I loved that she was just like a girl in between, like the perfect amount of weird and making bad decisions, not to the point where you're like, girl, shut up, or to the point where you're like, girl, do something interesting. So I loved it. That's the Rachel incident by Caroline O'Donohue.
Lay. That's like a very interesting point though, but about like characters either being like on a spectrum, like the extreme.
Yeah.
You really do rarely see someone normal.
Yeah, for real.
So then I struggled a lot with my first and second one on how to order them, because they were honestly both really surprising to me that they were there, but they just were. And so my second one is When Darkness Loves Us, which I'm pretty sure I did read for the pod,
Yes.
by Elizabeth Engstrom. And that one was like two novellas in one book. And I think I remember talking about on the pod how like it's probably really problematic now, the things that are in it, but I think that it's beautiful and I think that it's still really important. And I don't understand. I mean, I can understand why it's not like a horror classic, but at the same time, I'm like, I think that these two stories like deserve something more than what they have. And I'm really thankful that that Grady Hendrix is like bringing back these paperbacks from hell and all that other stuff. But yeah, I think that this book was so important. It's so, I don't know, I think about it and it's almost like delicate to me. Like there's something fragile about it, in the best way. They were just both so good, but so gritty and raw. And like I said, probably problematic for this time, but I still think that they're really important. And I still think that really great things can be found from them. So,
And
yeah, that's why it's my number two.
we love Paperbacks from Hell.
We do.
Such a fun concept.
You never think they're going to be as good as they are.
No.
And then they are.
And then they are. Loves it. My number two, I thought was going to be my number one, and then I said, actually, I need to put something else as my number one. But my number two is, sorry, I don't want to butcher her name, so I'm pulling it up. Disorientation by Elaine Shi Chow. I think I also read this for the podcast. We did a lot of reading for the podcast this year. We were too booked and busy doing other things to read for fun. But reading for the podcast is reading for fun. I should say that. But it's just funny because sometimes I feel like we usually have one that the other one like didn't hear about because we like read it on our own. But this year, I think other than maybe a, we each have one maybe that the other didn't hear about.
Yeah.
But yeah, Disorientation again has to be one of my favorite books I've ever read in my life. So good. It is about a PhD student. And she's doing her PhD on this Chinese poet. And she has a again great character because she's the perfect amount of freak and regular girl. Very relatable. There's another girl at her school who's like do so much better than her at doing her PhD, or she feels that way about it. She's got like an annoying white boyfriend because she's Taiwanese. All this stuff that just makes it, and she's like a little weird, like she thinks weird things, but in the way that like every girl kind of thinks weird things. You think it's just going to be like a regular lit fic about this girl doing her PhD, And it turns into one of the craziest stories I've ever heard in my life. I have no idea how this woman, Elaine Xichao, came up with it. It's insane, but it's so good. And you literally never have I ever read literary fiction that has so many twists and turns. The other thing about this book that I love is it is laugh out loud funny. It is rare for me to read a book and be laughing. Like I'll watch like stuff like movies or like Saturday Night Live, TikToks, that kind of thing will make me laugh out loud. But I almost can't think of that many other books that made me laugh out loud. Except for maybe other books I really like. Like for example, like Didn't Nobody Give a Shit What Happened to Carlotta, which is also one of my favorite books I've ever read, and it was my top last year, and I read it for the podcast. That, despite it also being like heartbreaking, had laugh out loud moments. But it's harder to write something funny than it is to perform something funny. So shout out to this woman because Elaine, you really slayed when you did that. And the cover is pink and it's just a great, it's one of those books like I think everybody would like it, even if you're not in academia, even if you're not, can't relate specifically to like the Taiwanese American experience, like you will relate to this book in one way or another.
Do you remember when we had our studio class with Sam?
Yes.
Do you remember the only boy in the class?
Yes.
Remember how he wanted to write comedy so bad, and there was that one time when Sam was telling us about that Richard Pryor skit,
Yes.
and he was like, "I don't think that was Richard Pryor." And she was like, "What do you mean?" And he's like, "I know Richard Pryor, and I've never seen that skit. I study him, and I've literally never seen that skit."
Dude, fucking, I forgot about that.
That was like burned into my brain. Like the tension in that room was funny.
What? It was hilarious. And one other thing that was burned into my brain, that kid was so like unintentionally funny. Because I remember we read a Maggie Nelson book and she like it's Maggie Nelson and everybody's going around being like, what did you like about it? What did you like about it? And we get to him and he goes, I like that it talked about sex. And we were all just like, did you just read a Maggie Nelson book and all you could say was that you liked that she talked about sex? That dude was weird as fuck.
It's actually really funny.
Then he got kind of hot weirdly, like after we were
Yeah.
no longer, he didn't come back after COVID. He came back after we graduated, so we never saw him again. But then we found on Instagram and he got like weirdly hot. So, you
Have
know.
you seen lately on Instagram?
Yeah.
Bizarre.
And he's a boxer.
Crazy.
He's a
Yes.
boxer. And he loved it when you got super drunk at Windows and then posted on your Instagram story.
He did love that.
Shout out to him.
Not surprised. Yeah, shout out to him. Great time.
You know
Very
who you
funny, but
are.
he wasn't trying to be funny.
I hope he listens to this every week. I bet he does.
Say the word sex again so he'll like it.
Sex.
Yeah. Good times.
Laugh out loud,
Yeah,
funny.
no, writing comedy is something I hope I never do because I think it's so hard.
I agree.
And the only times I've ever read something funny from the people we had class with was when it was like not intentionally funny.
Yeah, like again, I don't want to be mean, but someone wrote a sex scene once in the class that you weren't in, and it was one of my favorite things that's ever happened at frat. And she also did something else very weirdly sexual in the Shakespeare class once. And I think
You don't
about
have a copy of it? You didn't save it?
no, I wish. Anyway,
You're
moving forward.
crazy. I used to steal workshops and everything.
I found a bunch of them on my computer the other day because I was doing a computer clean out and I saved your guys's, like, in case you ever revisit it, I think, and you didn't have it anymore, or in case, I don't know, something happened and we wanted to look. But I deleted everybody else's. But in retrospect, I deleted a bunch from this girl and I should have saved them because they would have been so funny to revisit.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel bad, but also I don't.
Well, anyways, fun times. Oh my God, we're at number one. I'm scared. So, my number one, I feel like, is honestly a boring pick for number one. But like after thinking about it, I didn't read a lot of books this year, and I couldn't deny that this one wasn't the best one that I read. And it also really did like open my eyes to something that I guess I hadn't really realized before. So my number one book that I read this year was Salem's Lot. And I think that I had this realization while reading this book that Stephen King actually plays on classic tropes. And I just never really realized that, which is stupid. But I never realized that. He's got vampires, he's got zombies, he's got hauntings, like he has end of the world plague book, like
Yep.
he's got a haunted car. Like he plays on classic tropes but makes them so his own that you'd never realize it. Like, who would ever think of Pet Sematary as a zombie book? But it is. It literally is. Like, and Salem's Lot is so obviously vampires, but it's so classic vampire while being modernized
Yeah.
that it's just so, it's so good. And like, I get that it was boring at parts. I get that it's weird. A lot of people, because I read it for book club, a lot of people didn't like the ending. They thought his writing was boring. I totally get that. But there was just something about it that it was so good. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah. And I don't know. It's just so it I had never thought about Stephen King in that way before. And like I just think about like Grady Hendrix all the time. I'm like, oh, Grady Hendrix just like plays on tropes and makes them silly and blah 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 blah. But like Stephen King did the same thing. He's been doing this, he's still writing books. He's doing the same things. So yeah, I don't know. That just like really blew my mind. And I like the way he did it, unfortunately. I gotta give the man credit. So that's why it's my number one.
Have you seen the Salem's Lot TV show?
No.
Okay, are you gonna watch it?
Should I?
I don't know. That's what I was gonna ask you because I haven't seen it. And so I was like, I wonder if it's better than the book or not, because I've heard really good things about the show, but I think in this at this point in Stephen King's timeline, a lot of people are actually watching his shows and movies instead of reading the books or doing the show or movie first and then reading the book. So I was
Yeah.
just curious. I heard great things.
I probably will eventually. I probably will definitely eventually.
They mention Salem's Lot in the TV show. What's it called? I loved the show. It was a Stephen King, it was an amalgamation of all of his concepts. And there was two seasons of it, and then it got canceled, and it was really, really good. What's the name? Damn, bitch.
Castle Rock.
Castle Rock. They mention Salem's Lot. There is a Salem's Lot in Castle Rock. And then it's vampires.
Yep.
Did it remind you of the creature from Midnight Mass as well?
No, but it did give me Midnight Mass vibes.
Because Midnight Mass, there is, correct me if I'm wrong, there is a short story by Stephen King called Midnight Mass.
I don't know, is there?
Yes, but the rest of the show is like a mix of a bunch of his other stories. And I think the vampire must come from Salem's Lot. But I'm not sure.
I could see it. The thing that really reminded me of Midnight Mass was almost like the isolation of the small town. But like I could definitely see that being a thing.
Inspired, if you will.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. And it was like quite. He made some bold moves with characters in that. And again, I just love. Like, Salem's Lot is a classic vampire book now.
That's so, and I would have never thought of it that way.
Like, if you see a list of vampire books, Salem's Lot would be on there with Dracula. But like, I don't know. I sometimes I'm just like, what? Stephen King had this like period where he was like cranking out these bangers that are honestly like so, they're not simple, but they're, again, basic concepts, and he's just cracking them out. And like, what was there before that? What were people writing in horror around that time? I don't
Nobody
even
was
really
doing it
know.
like him. Nobody was
Right.
doing it like
So
him.
it
Like,
just, it like blows my mind that it's 2025, 2024 when I read this. And it's just a classic vampire book, and it's so good.
no matter how much shit I talk about Stephen King, he is the GOAT.
Right.
I
Blows
fear.
my mind.
Like, I fear. And he's doing something all the time that's so different, like you said, than what everybody else was doing with that type of monster or character or whatever. Because it's like you have Interview with the Vampire that's clearly spoofing Dracula, which is clearly spoofing Carmilla, but then you have Salem's Lot, and like the only other thing I can think of with vampire that is similar, but he's still not similar. The only other thing I can think of that's vampires that's not like Dracula is you know what
I
I
Am
mean.
Legend.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I totally agree. This felt so I Am Legend, but
Yeah.
it still felt not.
Right. It's and I love that you said that about Pet Sematary, that if someone was like, what's the most famous zombie movie book of all time? I'd be like, I don't fucking know. Like The Girl with All the Gifts, like I Am
Or
Legend, if you read
yeah,
it as,
Leslie Lee.
right. Like I'm like, I don't fucking know. Of course it's Pet Sematary.
Of course it's Pet Sematary. But like you wouldn't. It like took me to read Salem's Lot and be like, wow, this is just a classic vampire book, to then be like, oh my God, all of his books are just like classic trope.
He
Blows
does
my
the
damn mind.
same thing.
He does it.
I'd like to fight him, but I also want to buy him around.
Yeah. Like for real, like the most classic haunted house book, obviously Haunting of Hill House, but like what else? It's The Shining.
I was thinking the
Not
same
even a
thing.
haunted house. It what? He's
I
so
was like,
good.
he low-key invented psychological terror with The Shining, and that's really impressive. Shout out to
It's lay, I guess.
the king. That's a great number one.
Yeah.
My number one is also a classic. And the reason I wasn't sure about including it is I was obviously familiar with the story before, hence why I chose it, but I had never read it in the way that I read it until this year, and that is Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier, which was the focus of my dissertation. Never have I ever read a book the way I read this book. So often we read books just for fun, we read books just to pass the time, and then we have Marissa and I and other people like us who studied writing and said, okay, well, to be a good writer, I have to be a good reader. And so you read books as a writer, and then we moved on to the podcast and we said, okay, now we're going to read books as writers and we're going to talk about them to other people so that they can read these books. That's a more in-depth reading of books than perhaps a lot of people have. But because of this research dissertation and because I had to like get climb into this book in a way I've never climbed into a book before, I felt like I read this more better slash th more thoroughly than I've ever read a book in my entire life. And because of that, it has to be my number one because it's also amazing. It's an amazing book. Everybody should read it. And on the surface, it is very much giving classic gothic fiction. But I discovered so much more about it, I feel like, from my reading of it and from the extra research I did on it. And because of that, it didn't necessarily feel like it should be disqualified from being my top one, but it's like, of course, this was going to be my top one. Because every other book we read is like, okay, I read it, it was great, next. But this one, I'm like, I'm gonna have a connection to this book for the rest of my life. And it's really interesting because even if at times I had more fun reading other books or whatever, I always struggled when someone said, "What's your favorite book?" I would be like, "I don't know, what kind of question is that? Like, I have like 10, I have 20." Or I'd be like, I always used to say Fahrenheit 451 as just like a classic, like I read that when I was a kid and it really stuck with me. But now I feel like I have a book where I'm like, of course that's my favorite book of all time. How could anything else take that spot? And maybe more research I do in the future in academia or for books or whatever, something else will take its place. But for the moment, I'm like, oh my God, it's got to be the number one of 2024, and it's got to be the number one of the last like 24 years of my life, essentially.
Isn't that so pretty? Like, that's beautiful.
I love that. I love that books become part of us in such a, like, it's like a brick. If you made me out of bricks, like Daphne du Maurier's Rebecca is like a brick, you know, like it's part of you now, which I think is so fun.
It's so fun and it's so intimate.
Yes. And you feel like you know the person too, in a way. Like, I don't know. It's just weird when you get that connected to a person that's you've never met and is no longer even alive. But you have to get inside their head. And you might be interpreting it in a different way than they interpreted it, but you're still in their head nonetheless. You're like rummaging through their brain trying to figure out what they were doing and how they felt. So it's very intimate. It's like the most intimate you can get with someone without like being intimate with someone, if that makes sense, I think.
Which is also terrifying.
I know it, that when I said that, I was like, oh, that freaked me out a little.
You like reel that
I said, actually, I take it back.
in.
Wow, we had good top fives this year.
Good. Is there any book in 2025 that you're excited about?
A book that's coming out in 2025, or just books that I'm excited to read?
Either or.
I honestly need to go back and keep track of the books that are coming out in 2025. But I have a few books that I'm very excited to read. I recently got Annihilation by Jeff Vandermeer. I'm very excited to read it. I also got, shocking that all three of these books that I'm going to mention are by men, because usually I'm like, don't even fucking do that. But This Thing Between Us by Gus Moreno, I got used and I'm really excited to read it. And then this is going to be the year I finally read Imaginary Friend. And I'm just excited because that's one of Marissa's favorite books of all time. And I love doing that.
I'm quite excited for that.
What about you?
Joe Hill's coming out with a new book.
That's, I thought that, and then I thought I was wrong for a second.
Nope, he is. It's like his first book in like 15 years.
Yeah. So that's very
So
exciting for us.
I remember a year or two ago, I heard that he was stepping down from Hill House Comics so that he can focus on writing more books. And I was like, damn, he's not gonna do that.
And he
And now
did.
the book is coming out, and I'm like, so excited for that. So yeah, that's really exciting. There's a lot of like classic horror writers, not classic, but well-known horror writers who came out with books last year who are coming out with books again this year. We'll see how that goes. But I'm also really excited for the new Hunger Games book that's supposed to come out.
I was just gonna say, when you mentioned Joe Hill, that popped back into my head and I was gonna mention it. I'm beyond excited for the new Hunger Games. That is gonna change my life. I feel like it's gonna be one of those things that we like, I was getting like giddy about it, like where you go pick it up on the day it comes out and then you read it all at once, like, oh, I'm so excited.
So, it's going to be a good year for books, as always. And it's going to be a good year for the podcast, as always.
As always, we think we might change things up a little bit, not necessarily this type of thing we do. We would still do that. But we're thinking about doing more movie stuff potentially, more writing stuff, more craft slash literary history stuff potentially. So yeah, it's gonna be after 100 episodes, we're gonna shake things up a little bit. And now we'll get to see what happens with that this year. So I'm very excited.
So many possibilities.
So many possibilities. Follow us on everything, even though TikTok might be banned in a few days.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not, but it's LSMR podcast. We'll see. That's kind of all she wrote.
Slay.
And we'll see you guys with a brand new episode at some point soon.
Soon. Bye.
Bye.